The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Stephen Hines, author of Zombie Fabulous, Rebirth Defect, and Valedictorian USA. And you, my friends, are getting your skulls crushed by the pile driver of John Orlando with his PBD cast in your face.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PBD cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 148. This episode is certainly going to be off the chain and out of control, because as you read in the show notes, I'm going to be joined by DJ Joey Blaze, Will, and Ringside Ran, and we are going to debate who is the most overrated wrestler, hashtag, of all time. Now, we're also going to kick off the episode by touching base and giving our insight and our ideas and our thoughts on the upcoming WWE pay-per-view Fastlane, which, by the way, this Sunday comes to you live from Columbus, Ohio. So we're going to be throwing out a lot of opinions on this episode, but it's a fun episode, I will tell you that. And real quickly, I don't want to spend too much time because I want to get on into our debate. I would like to thank Brian Lau for the hashtag of all time. Brian came up with this idea and he and I were talking about it, and I don't really want to go into the full story because Brian's going to be coming on in a few weeks and I think we can talk about it then, but it was his idea. I'm borrowing it for this episode of the PVD cast. I know he's also kind of farmed it out, so to speak, to the Canned Air podcast guys as well, and I know he wants to use it on a couple of other podcasts that he's going to be doing to talk a little bit about Staunch Ambition. And yeah, there's some news about Staunch Ambition, and that's why he's coming on in a couple weeks. But I digress. We'll talk more about that. I want to get to reminding you fine folks that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. That's right. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PBDcast. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, your Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PBD cast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. As you know, they have tons of books on professional wrestling, so just go on over and check out their selection. And to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/PBDcast. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/PBDcast to get your hands on a free audiobook. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, my guests join me to debate who is the most overrated wrestler, hashtag, of all time. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're sitting down here, the four of us, to talk about WWE Fastlane. And by the four of us, I mean DJ Joey Blaze. How are you?
I'm just trying to sit here cleaning up my Ric Flair drip on the floor.
Oh, Jesus. Could you just clarify what that is real quick?
What, Ric Flair drip?
Yes.
You go to a free clinic for it.
No, it's not.
You tickle it out and hit it over the head with the hammer? No? It's just a new hip-hop song, and I find it kind of blasphemous and funny, and I think it's crazy that Ric Flair is hurting that bad for money that he's doing hip-hop songs.
So, all right. Sorry. All right. Also, we're joined by Will.
Yes.
Will, fan of the podcast. Welcome to the PBD cast. Congratulations are in order, by the way.
Yes, thank you.
Newly engaged there at Wrestle Circus.
Yep.
How did that work? Did you just email Wrestle Circus that you wanted to do it?
Or? Yeah, I got in contact with Lexi, who is the owner's wife. And she put me in contact with Kevin Condren, one of the talent.
Yeah.
So he and I kind of traded text messages back and forth all day. And then, we kind of bounced some ideas back and forth off each other. We were kind of trying to work out how to do it. You know, we both had kind of crazy ideas in the beginning, and we just kept slimming it down until finally we were like, all right, after intermission, we'll just call you up. Because I just came back from the deployment. It was kind of like an easy angle to play.
Thank you for that,
brother. So
Yes, indeed. Once
that all came to light, then it was just easy to put the two together. So they kind of said, we're going to call you in. You can get on the mic, say your piece, and then kind of go from there. So.
Yeah, and I mean, I asked that question, and I just hopefully assumed you planned it out, and it was, I'm like, oh, fuck it, let's just do it right now, you know.
It's funny because all day long I knew it was going to happen, and they said, all right, you're the first section after intermission. You know, the ringmaster is going to come in and tell you to go. And I had this long speech prepared. I'm like, oh, I'm going to do, you know.
Not Steve Austin.
No, different ringmaster?
Yeah. Yes, okay. Yeah, different one.
So I had this whole speech prepared. I'm like, oh, I'm going to say this, this, and this. And then once I got in the ring, you know, people started with different chants. They were chanting, like, you deserve it and all this other stuff. And all that went out the window. And I was like, all right, well, I just got to shoot from the hip all from right. here. So, you know, it went well, though. It went well. So I was happy.
Two things really quick with that. A, I really wish she would have turned heel on him and hit him with a chair. I was waiting for that in the video. Just like him to turn around, maybe put his hands up. Then
the Gucci purse.
Yeah.
Missy Hyatt. There you go. Yeah.
Or I was waiting for him to go old school with about a story that you told us. I was hoping that Jim Duggan would be in the ring at the same time with a mirror. Either way, that would have been a great video. But
that would have been awesome.
The OG video is pretty cool, too. Congratulations. It's very, very
good
awesome.
Good deal.
And, of course, joined by Ringside Rand.
I don't hear my theme music.
Well, because nobody told me that you had theme music. But how is life in the Golden Ghetto?
Life in the Golden Ghetto is great.
Are you excited for Fast Lane?
I am excited.
All right.
And I'm going to throw a long shot best case scenario for Fast Lane whenever you want it.
Okay. Well, let's hold on to that real quick because the first topic that we're going to talk about here is, of course, the Fast Lane pay-per-view, which is this Sunday, March 11th here in Columbus, Ohio. We're going to talk about that first, and what is this, the third pay-per-view Columbus has had? Because I think King of the Ring 2002.
Which I was there.
Okay. I was there.
I was there as well.
Yeah. Clear up in the top.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, way up
probably
there.
Probably next to each other.
Where were we at, Rand, if we were there at that time in our lives? We were...
Better be ringside.
Ringside! Okay. Thank you.
Bad Blood, cage match between Triple H and Shawn.
Yeah, that was the other pay per view, which I was third row for that.
Close enough. Let's call it ringside.
Yeah, ringside area with Columbus's favorite '90s DJ, Drew Hansen.
He's 90 years old. He looks good.
He does look good. I just saw him this weekend.
Wow.
He's 90 years old.
Wow. Plastic does good things.
He was nice and scored his tickets for that, but. We got our tickets from King of the Ring, which is crazy. Bad Boy Brady West had a friend that was rather attractive that was seeing the coach at the time. Now, I don't know if he sexually harassed her like he did people at ESPN, other females, but we got to hang out with him and Michael Cole and a bunch of the refs afterwards, and that was cool, King of the Ring. We did that.
And then we had Money in the Bank, what, 2 years ago? Money in the Bank, 15?
John's just like, yeah, that's a cool story. Anyway.
Time out. Listeners at home, this is the one that's been complaining about, can we get this going? Come on, stop talking. Let's go.
I'm sorry, Mr. Full Throttle. Go ahead, tell us about Money in the Bank.
Oh, you go right ahead.
I didn't do that. I didn't go to that one.
Why didn't you go to that one?
I don't know. You're telling the story now.
I'm not telling. I just said I got hooked up with some sweet tickets. That's it.
All I know is I guess I'm in the back. I'm not even sitting shotgun right now, Captain John Orlando. Sounds like a lounge singer's name.
One of those members of one of those bad WCW cliques, like with Norman the Lunatic and Ranger Ross and Captain John Orlando.
And Huge Erection. General Erection.
Major Guns.
Yeah.
Captain Obvious.
I don't think
it's that. Sure, why not?
That's an insurance or that travel agency.
I was going to say, too many balls ahead. Pause. That's a whole other story.
Major Guns.
Lieutenant Loco.
Yep.
Corporal Punishment?
I don't know.
Sure, why not?
Van Hammer was one of them.
Okay.
Whatever his character
is. AWOL.
Yeah,
AWOL.
Who's DOA now.
Yeah. Jerry Titus was his name?
Jerry. Jerry Titus?
I think the wall's name was Jerry something.
Do we get drug tested before this?
Hold on, drug testing? That means we sample drugs?
No. I think that's what they were doing in the green room. I was wondering what that ominous smoke was when they rolled in here.
Or they measure us for drugs. I keep confused on drug testing.
Anyways.
We got a wild bunch tonight, Captain John Orlando.
this ship might sink soon. Who knows? All right, let's talk about some of the matches and get some of our thoughts, opinions, and whatnot of what's going to happen here in Fastlane. So far, I believe there's only six matches that they have booked, I believe. So this is, of course, from what I gathered out there on the news agencies, as well as what happened last night on SmackDown Live. We have Becky Lynch and Naomi taking on Carmella and Natalya in a...
I think this is when we go get our beers.
Yeah, maybe. That would be a good time to go do that.
I do that because I'm kind of pissed because I think it's a shame. Like something like this is just thrown together. Like you could do something even cooler. You know, they haven't named some things yet. You don't. You know, you're still setting up things for Mania. And instead of doing a tag team match, you get a four corners match or a fatal four way or put something behind it, an elimination match. Teddy Long is doing creative here with these tag team matches. That needs a stop.
You know, maybe put Carmella's money in the bank briefcase on the line. Something of interest.
I would totally agree with that. Make her more relevant again.
I like that idea. Yeah, because she kind of has, she's, said, what, 262 days or something that she since she's won the briefcase and hasn't done anything.
That's June.
Yeah. It's like they haven't done anything with her. And I don't know, something, I'm so bored with Natalya. Just, I wish she would just go away.
And it's a shame.
It is.
She's such a freaking talent, and they just don't.
They don't do anything.
But that's all they've been doing with SmackDown Women for the last 6 months, tag matches. Every time you turn it on, it's tag matches, or it's one-on-one with, like, people ringside, and it's like, it's just stale. When's the last time Carmella even had a match? I don't know. I can't remember.
She was on the ring. I think she wrestled this past Tuesday.
Yeah, she last night, but prior to last night.
Right. She's seldom used. Hasn't been on the pay-per-view other than the Women's Royal Rumble match.
Yeah.
It seems like we're getting everybody in the Riot Squad matches with people.
I'll take a match with Sarah Logan.
Sorry. I just, and again, the Riot Squad, I'm not a big fan of that faction anyways. I just, again, as we've talked before on this podcast, I don't understand Absolution. Like, to me, there should be a switch of the talent on those two cliques, because I don't understand. Mandy Rose, to me, just doesn't fit in with Paige and with Sonya Deville. Why is she not with, you know, the other, quote, beauty girls over in...
Maybe,
you know what I mean? Like,
call them, like, the Glam Squad or something like that.
Like, Ruby Riott should be with Paige and should be with, you know... The characters Punks. Don't match. They just don't match.
Maybe we'll see something with the shakeup, because there's talk of doing another shakeup. And then there's talk about whether it's going to be a cruiserweight tag division.
So maybe
they'll have a women's one finally as they keep signing more talent and bringing more people in.
Yep.
And they're going to have to do stuff. They're going to have to do more to get these ladies over when you have big names and you bring in like a Ronda Rousey now on Raw. Most angles are going to have to go through her for a while.
Yeah.
So you're going to need something for this other talent. So maybe they'll do something that'll play on both sides. I don't know.
Yeah, like a tag. A tag tournament, tag titles would be awesome. I mean, they really would.
But back to that match, though, I would see the faces win that for sure.
Will, what do you think?
Yeah, I would have to imagine. Unless they're trying to get Carmella some more momentum going into Mania that she may cash, then maybe they win. Because they were doing a cool thing when she first got the briefcase to, like, they were always teasing her music. She would come running out, then, oh, not today. And, like, that was really cool. And then it just slowly died off. Like, and then Corbin lost his briefcase. And then her story completely went away. So then it was like, you didn't even know she had it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if they want to build her momentum that she might cash at Mania, I would say
they... Well, they lost that momentum, too, because remember we went to a show right after she won.
SmackDown the next night.
And how fired up was Christina, along with a lot of other people, that she won in the way she won. And they didn't carry that heat and that momentum. They could have kept carrying it, and then they just let it die. And now it's just a cute chick with a briefcase.
Yeah.
Does she need James Ellsworth back?
I don't
know. Well, that's a good point. That is a very good point, because that's the... Ringside, that's a very good point, because that seemed to be, for all intents and purposes, what got her the heat. I mean, she's just not doing it on her own.
For sure. I see something where Well, I thought eventually, but they're not going to do it now. But I always thought they were going to put Cass with her, but now they went their separate ways. So I don't know.
Right.
But that's, I thought they were going to take him to SmackDown, and I don't think that's going to happen now.
Predictions. Who do you think goes over?
I go with DJ Joey Blaze on this one. I'm going with the faces.
I'm going to go with Will because I think I agree to an extent. I actually took it from the angle that not only Carmella, but they maybe this is another opportunity to try to do something with Natty to try to get her back in the back in the swing of things and maybe get some interest.
They need to bring her daddy, put him in the Hall of Fame, and then put him with her for a while. I think that would be great.
Oh, that wouldn't be bad.
That personality with her and like embarrass her, like no dad, I don't need this type of stuff. I think that'd be a really cool way to freshen up her character. But I heard he likes to puff pass, so I don't know if he'd be able to.
Okay, all right.
What you were doing in the green room?
I was gonna say there was accusations earlier about somebody at this table doing that. All right, Rusev is gonna take on Nakamura. And what was actually, I did find this humorous last night on SmackDown Live where they kept saying, you just can't make up holidays. I thought that was really funny. I don't know why it was such a simple, like, throwaway comment on commentary, but I giggled like a little schoolgirl because I thought it was funny. Ran?
It seems like every time I'm turning on the radio, it's National Peanut Butter Day or National Take Your Kid to Work Day. It seems like every day has something, so why not Rusev?
It does. Don't you pay attention to Dom Tiberi on the sports? You know, he has every ridiculously stupid holiday.
Well, it seems like every day is National Hollywood Sexual Harassment Day, so... sorry.
You got off on a tangent. That's for another episode.
I guess.
Anyways, who do you see coming out on this one, Ryan?
I don't see Shinsuke Nakamura slowing down.
No, I agree with you on that.
I don't see it going over either way. I think they have to find a way for a non-clean finish, because how over Rusev Day is right now, if he loses clean, you're kind of killing that momentum. But there's no way you're going to have Shinsuke lose clean on the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah, but they've done it many times before when they killed somebody.
Absolutely. They kill momentum when they don't want it. But here's the thing. He's over at a Ring of Honor show, and he's not even on the show. Right, chanting Rusev Day.
Right.
Rusev does have a partner, and there's a reason he can have the partner interfere the wrong way.
Sure. Yeah, you could. Yeah, definitely there's a way to work around it. I just can't see a
clean victory either way. And it kind of seems just like a thrown-together match because they were like, Fastlane's coming up and we don't have anything going on with either one of these two guys, so let's put them together.
Yeah.
And the thing that really bothers me is like the push he's getting in. He's actually getting finally to show his personality. Like, Lana number one, Lana is the best. Like, I think that is funnier than...
Yeah.
Oh, if you've ever seen him on Total Divas, he's hilarious. Yeah. I mean, just being himself, he's...
I was going to say, I think it's funny than albino rolling around in cow shit, but I don't know what that has to do with this either, but he interrupted that. But, I have seen that, and I think it's great, and I think they need to keep pushing that personality, because we're hurting for personalities, dude.
Yeah.
We are hurting. You need to push that. That's what's got Strowman. It's cool that he's strong and he's big and he's bad. What's getting him over is his personality right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's been strong and bad his whole time. Now he's getting to show him. That's with Rusev. He's a big bad dude, but he gets to have some personality. I don't know. I hope he doesn't. I hope it's a way that Will just said. There's some sort of Schmonz type of ending. Maybe Aiden somehow, and then there's friction between Aiden. I don't know. But yeah, I hope it's not clean, because that would be really annoying.
So what do you think of the rumor that the reason they are pushing Rusev is because he created Rusev Day himself and not WWE Creative? Have you heard that?
I wouldn't be surprised. I've heard
that. But there's a rumor that they are not pushing him. Like, he's been off TV for a while. Prior to yesterday, he's been off TV for a while. And the reason is he created Rusev Day himself, not WWE Creative, and he's pushing too hard to get it over, and they're holding him back.
Well, he went to be the number one selling t-shirt, and they totally negated that, dude. They shut that shit down, just like they did with Zack Ryder.
Mm-hmm.
He had so much momentum with the Internet Championship, all of a sudden, it just stopped. I totally believe in that rumor, man, because there's a lot of egos at that level, and if they didn't come up with it...
But isn't that petty?
Oh, it is.
Super petty.
Oh, my God.
It's petty that they won't let Cody Rhodes use his last name.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's petty. Anyway, so you think Nakamura wins, though?
You can't have him lose going into
Not going into Mania.
You could have him injured, but still win.
I don't think they do it. I think that probably he goes over somehow.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he just wins clean. I really wouldn't, because they've done that before. All right, let's move on to the ladies once again. Charlotte will be defending her title against Ruby Riott. Thoughts on this match, Will?
I think Ruby has all the momentum, but I think they want Charlotte to be champion going into Mania, so it just doesn't make sense for her to drop it here.
I totally agree with him. I mean, I like Ruby. Ruby's a heck of a worker. But Charlotte. I mean, she's a shit, but what are they? Which way are they going to go with Mania? Where, you know, who's she going to fight at Mania? Right. What are they going to do? Or, you know, so I think they start to build that. I think it would be a great swerve if she dropped it and then did something else going into Mania, but I don't see Ruby getting the title that fast either. For sure. So.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I like the promo that they did, too, to kick off SmackDown last night. That was really well done. I really liked it.
With the schoolgirl Charlotte all excited when Bobby Roode came out. Did you see that, where she kind of melted? That was a little weird. But.
No, I didn't pay attention to that. Was that because they kind of were going to commercial? Did that happen during that transition or no?
Right at the end, his music hit, and she just, it was kind of cheesy. Okay.
I did not pay attention to that. I'm sorry, I missed that. But
Road Warriors.
I totally agree. I think that Charlotte goes over. Rand, your two cents.
Indeed, I didn't know we had to pay for things around here. Virgil, you got my money.
Virgil, fuck money back there.
Oh my first of all, God.
This is not an Olive Garden, so you would not be hanging out here. Okay,
there's no marinara in the house.
There's no marinara in the house.
Oh my God.
All right, Usos are going to take on New Day, which speaking of another promo, I like the promo. What was it, 2 weeks ago? I think it was 2 weeks ago that they did. I really like how they set the table.
How Usos have never had,
never had
a Mania match, which is hard to believe.
Yeah.
As long as they've been together, as well as they've been together, their promos are getting so good.
And you know what? I didn't realize 9 years. When they threw that out, I'm like, and I was trying to do the math, and I'm like, I'll be damned. It's been 9 years. I never thought. Like, seriously, I never thought about that.
But they're head and shoulders above where they used to be now.
Oh, yeah.
With this change, I mean, they're killing it right now.
Yeah. I think Usos go over.
I keep looking at it as a big picture. It's the last pay-per-view before Mania. What are they going to do to build this tag division for Mania? Is it just going to be a throwaway match early in the night, like in the pre-show? You know, and I think that I hate when they do that with championship matches.
Well, wait a minute. Cut it some slack, because I'm sure that the pre-show for WrestleMania will be 9 hours.
All right.
Probably.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know.
I think it starts
half hour after Fastlane.
Yeah.
it'll be like 11:30 Sunday night.
Probably right.
Welcome to the pre-show. We're sitting here with four people we don't know who the hell they are.
Oh, nobody's in the building yet. The stage hasn't been built yet.
But we're ready.
There's a janitor in the back. Hey, can you guys leave? I want to go home.
No, we're on the road to WrestleMania. That's so great. So great. But no, I want to see some more prestige. Like, what are they going to do with the tag titles? Are they going to... See, I was really thinking they're going to push Kevin and Sammy as a tag team after this match for Fastlane.
I agree.
But Sammy hit the Helluva kick on Kevin. Are they breaking up? Like, that would have been... I would have loved to have seen them two feud with the Usos. I think that would have been a great match going into Mania.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think it's a good way to set this up. And what combo are you going to see from the New Day, too? Like, I'm always... I mean, I like Xavier Woods, and he's got a budding amateur movie career, but I like to see Xavier and Big E in there at the same time. So, I don't know. We'll see. I like to see how they're going to set it up, but Usos. I like
you
to
go
take
the Usos.
Sorry, right. I go the scenic route sometimes.
All right, Will, your thoughts?
I don't know. I think the Usos will go over, but I have no idea what either team winning does for WrestleMania.
True.
Because I feel like they don't have a plan for the Raw tag titles, and they don't have a plan for the SmackDown tag titles.
I think they have one already for Raw.
Maybe.
We can talk about that later.
Sure. Well, once we get round the table, we'll talk about it. Sorry, go ahead, Will.
So this idea just came to me while I was listening to you talk. What about the fact, what if New Day goes over And then they used the Usos as the host for WrestleMania because they don't really have a host yet, and they've never been on the show. So maybe they play them in that way just to kind of, oh, well, we got you in WrestleMania. But I don't know. I think Usos go over.
I think that'd be stupid.
Rand, who do you think go over?
I somehow think it's disputed, and we get a 2 out of 3 falls of Mania for this pair.
Ooh.
Because they need to have a final something, and then I think when they do a shakeup, they'll go to because they fought a bunch of times. Yeah, but you never know. They keep going back and forth.
I don't want to see it again.
Plus, they've already done Hell in a Cell to me. Like that's up here. You know, that's
when they keep teasing that the Bludgeon Brothers are next in line. Yeah, when is that going to happen? I don't think that's necessarily the Mania match we want either. But
it might be
teasing it over and over.
Squash Mania match. Yeah, that's what's going to be. Whoever faces a bludgeon, it's going to be a squash.
Can't squash for the titles.
Yeah, you can. They did it with the World Heavyweight title when Sheamus squashed Daniel Bryan.
Should you?
Why not?
No. There's a lot of things you can do. It doesn't mean you always should do them.
Drew, good point.
Oh,
all right. Well, wait.
I'm going to get that tattooed.
Wait a minute. Let's talk about the Raw Tag Team titles. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's going to be like an invitational because they're teasing Sanity. Because both Killian Dane and Eric Young have said something on Twitter about it.
Sure, okay.
So I think there's going to be some sort of invitational. You might see one or two teams from NXT, and you'll see some different, and maybe be some
I would do
sort
it like
of,
Gauntlet style.
Maybe come that.
Come down one after the other.
Which I think that would take forever with that huge-ass ramp.
but
maybe
sure.
Have like a Fatal 4-Way or something, or some sort of invitational.
Okay, and that's how they get the belts on the Revival.
Yeah, I think that one in the Schma is like an old school heel tag team way.
Yeah, that way.
Okay,
all right.
My opinion.
That's not a bad idea. Actually, it's not a bad idea.
I think it's a good way to get some of these other teams exposure. But
rumors for War Machine to be involved if that happens as well.
But they haven't even served any time in NXT.
Oh yeah, well, they don't. Let's be honest, they don't need.
They don't need to, but they've been announced as NXT talent, just like EC3.
Right.
He doesn't need to be there, but he's going to be there.
Well, they brought freaking Mike Kanellis straight to main roster from out of nowhere.
But they didn't sign him as an NXT.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But they, I mean.
Yeah, but that hasn't panned out very well for Mr. Kanellis, has it?
That's his own doing, but.
Yeah. Should have wore a condom.
He's working his way back, I believe.
You know what? Just as a side note, on Twitter, he had posted something about, like, it was one some random day. Like, I don't know. I'll say, like, March 5th. 3 years ago, or Maria and I came home from an indie show and we didn't have any money to buy food and she cried. I'm like, wait, time out. What the fuck happened to all the Playboy money?
Yeah.
Where did that go?
Someone commented that under. I know exactly the thing you're talking about.
It was either a tweet or Instagram.
Tweet. He's like, oh, we couldn't afford to buy pizza, blah, blah, blah. And then somebody like went after her and she responded back to whoever went after her saying similar things. And she was saying that how they had like some bad real estate deals when the market crashed and some other stuff.
Okay.
And
okay.
She gave an explanation that I felt like you don't need to respond, but yeah, someone else has said the exact same thing.
Yeah, because I'm like where did Playboy want to go?
You had the contract with WWE, you were both in Ring of Honor, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But yeah.
I don't know where the money went, but I know where the Playboy is still.
Oh. It's on the shelf in your room?
It's hidden.
It's hidden. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Next to Sables.
Next to Sables.
Yeah.
Not China's?
What was the other? Ashley Massaro. Next to her.
I like how he totally no-sold that. What? Huh? No.
She's a few drinks.
Before we get off the Raw tag titles, did you see the Young Bucks tweets today at Sheamus and Cesaro? They responded to that tweet that they put out about no teams being left. And it's like, oh, looking at the calendar, we have that day open. And then Matt commented right under. He's like, yeah, I think Ring of Honor would let us do a one-off. I mean, obviously nothing to come of that, but it kind of set people. Yeah.
It's a shame
set people place today.
All right, then we got Bobby Roode versus Randy Orton. I'll say this: at least this match has me somewhat interested in something that Randy Orton is doing, because I have not been interested in anything that dude has been doing.
Well, coincidentally, neither has he. Because that guy looks completely uninterested in being there or even being near a ring. So, which I mean, I guess if you have a 9-month feud with Jinder,
I agree. Out of nowhere, going to go nowhere.
But that is a change that I like that they start doing with him when he was just. Like the last 3-4 weeks in a row where he's just come out of the crowd, RKO'd someone, not said anything, and then just left. Like, that's brilliant. That could go on for another couple months, and I would enjoy that. But when he gets in and has to do a full match, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I totally agree.
It's a shame what happened to him, but I think what's even more surprising is that his dad is wrestling a match yeah. here in Central Ohio in a weekend or two.
That's right, the big Bobby Fulton show.
Down yeah. there. With Ace Hepatitis C Cowboy Orton. Wasn't that the deal that he would bled on Undertaker and Undertaker was pissed because he had Hep C or something?
I do not know.
I heard somebody bled on Undertaker.
I don't know.
Yeah, and it wasn't Michelle McCool. Yeah.
So that's why he got cut from WWE.
Yeah, because okay. they didn't. Yeah.
No, I don't know that.
I'm not trying to be slanderous. I'm just going by what I heard.
I need to get sued.
Yeah. The legal team, did you check with the legal team, Randy?
Since Waits and Doolittle, you guys were ready? Yeah, they're here.
Okay.
We have a legal team.
I don't know.
Legal team.
Let's
wait and do a little.
Look, I think that Randy Orton, much like many other of the superstars on the roster, and it's going to go back to that old, how can we miss you if you never go away? Like, I mean, why? I mean, I don't know what you do with Randy Orton, but maybe some of these folks get an off season to go away for a while because, I mean, he's never left.
Strangely enough, there are benefits to being injured.
Yes. Yeah. Now
he's had many benefits to being injured over the
years.
Of course. But you know, that's the same. It's the same thing with Ziggler, though.
You're right. I mean,
he came back, but nothing changed.
No.
You know, like I would bring Orton back and take him off and bring him back with like a heel faction again. Like he does really well in factions, I think. He did well with Legacy, and he did well with
Evolution.
Hell yeah. And, you know, there's some young guys coming up. Like, I think a nice little pairing might be with him, with EC3, who's cocky. Sure. And you get a couple other, another tag team that's cocky. And maybe he's kind of like the flair of that group.
Yeah.
And then you run with it that way. He thrives in that. The times he's thrived, in my opinion, the best. Legend Killer.
Yes.
When he's in a group. And the RNN reports. Randy
Newton,
that was great. That was entertaining.
I'm 75% into that idea.
You know, and that's so. I those are the three that I think. So I say get him in a stable here soon, personally. And obviously, it's a great way. So what they're doing is they're going to get Bobby Roode over.
Yeah, veteran, right.
Which he needs to be. He deserves. Yes. He's in that spot as the U.S. champion. So I say Bobby Roode wins it. And sure. I think it's going to be a decent match.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be a good match. I think Roode goes over.
I think Mahal probably sticks his nose in it somewhere.
Somehow. Yeah, sure.
Because we just can't get enough of him.
Oh, my God.
Well, and I think that they're going to push, obviously, I think Mania, the plan is Ginger, Mahal, Bobby, yeah, and Bobby sure. for the U.S. title.
Or even a triple threat between the three of them.
Oh, I hope not a triple threat, but yeah, I mean, they love to do it. I don't know. Like I said, I just think in the WWE that some people should take a break, disappear for a while, come back, different look, different vibe to them. To get them interested. Sheamus was an example. Like I said on this podcast, the bar was the only thing that's made me interested in Sheamus over the last couple of years. Prior to that, I could care less. And I never... The Big Show. I do not give a shit what he does. I do not care. He's gone finally. Like, that's what they need to do. I mean, they need to... It's old school. They've done it before. You know, I just listened to a Jim Cornette video where he talked about the missing link. The missing link was Dewey Robertson for 25 years and wrestled and then decided to take a little bit of time off and came back as a totally new character for about 6 years. And see, that's what we're missing, I think.
Maybe we need to start casting for the Marine 7.
Is that what one they're on?
I
think so.
All right, well, let's talk about the main event.
Here's a lucky guess.
Well, you need to play the lottery.
Or unlucky. Yeah,
anyways. So AJ Styles defending the title against Dolph Ziggler, John Cena, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and of course my least favorite, Baron Corbin. So in the six-pack challenge, thoughts on this match? Anyone? Bueller?
I can't see AJ losing.
No.
I can see other matches coming out of this.
Like what?
Well, two people squaring off. Like Sami and Kevin. I can see.
I don't want to see that again.
I didn't say I wanted to see it. I said I could see it. I could also see, and this is my way out there, long shot theory, I could see John Cena losing, walking to the ramp, and being confronted by The Undertaker, setting up the match for WrestleMania.
Mm.
I think
long that, shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I originally did like that idea, and I thought of that as well, but I don't know. Fastlane and Columbus just doesn't have the feel of that type of moment. Not that it like where it's at, but just the whole pay-per-view feels like a throwaway. So it's yeah. like when you get yeah. to the end and then that's the they just haven't done that enough recently that I could see them do it now. But the idea, yeah, that is a good idea.
I can see him coming out on Raw and doing a promo, and then somehow the Taker shows up on Raw.
Right.
And then maybe making a career versus career match. Ooh. I can see that with Cena. Now, to get back to the match here, yeah, so I think you're going to see some other things come out of it we probably don't want to see. But AJ Styles will retain to keep the match with Shinsuke.
If he doesn't, going to burn the arena down.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that
I got time tickets next
week. That was a joke, folks.
Yeah. Legal team.
Not that arena. WrestleMania arena.
So he's going to travel across state borders.
We now have the FBI involved because we're crossing borders.
Yeah.
The NSA is now just listening.
That legal team's going to have
a tough time with this. That's right.
Sits, waits, and do a little.
Yeah, I think AJ Styles obviously wins. I don't know. Personally, myself, I don't see any of, you know, I do agree that Cena's got to do something. I hope they don't do Owens and Zayn. I think that would be
detrimental
to their momentum.
Yeah, because I think they've been so great as I don't know where they're going to go. I think I'd love them as a tag team.
I do too.
How could you get them to go from this match into a tag team?
Yeah, that's tough.
Well, I think they would set that up on SmackDown. I think they would kind of make up, and then they would come out and they would say that, you know, we didn't do we work better as a team, and
yeah, it was the heat of the moment type of deal. Yeah, you know,
you're my best friend. I love you.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about two other things real quick. First of all, why is the WWE doing a 50-man Royal Rumble match in Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, because they want to really build the fan base there.
That was rhetorical, but I'm like, 50 man.
You asked the question.
I know. 50 man, that should be America's.
One for every state?
One entry for every state.
Representing Alaska, the Flying Nanook.
No, they would just randomly assign them. Like, John, representing Alaska, John Cena.
From Hawaii, Dean Morocco.
Well, and Trump wouldn't allow people to come in from other countries to do it, probably.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. In all seriousness, I think I would be a little bit hesitant to want to go to the Middle East to perform on a wrestling show. I just think that, I don't know. What kind of security does the WWE have to hire for that? They got to...
They must have to, because it's going to be a huge show because they want to build that crowd, and
right.
That's where there's a lot of money there. So
I don't know,
and that'll be on the network for $9.99.
I'm assuming, but I don't know.
Never gave us that Starcade that they did,
which is horrible. I'd love to watch that.
Yeah, I know. Same here.
I doubt we get this.
I don't know, but I don't know. I would be weird.
It seems odd. It just seems. Since I saw the news, I was like. Seems weird.
The thing that seems really weird though is both it's a time both them and TNA was just they've been vying for that area so bad. Like, I mean, you know, it's cool they got money and there's a huge fan base there, but like, yeah, to go with something like that is second. Why call it a Royal Rumble?
Right, yeah. That's my point.
Yeah.
It's a 50-man.
It takes away from future Royal Rumbles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't they just recycle WCW's World War III?
That would not be good, saying Middle Eastern country, you're running a show called World War III.
I want to see the tickets printed with World War III.
Oh, my gosh. Would you bring back Muhammad Hassan for a match like this? Like,
yes, I would. All right, all
Shiki,
in.
Shiki, baby.
It was announced Monday that the Cody Rhodes and Young Bucks show All In, as it's titled, is going to be happening September 1st in Chicago at Sears Center Arena. I don't even know where that is in Chicago.
It's technically not, I guess.
Well, it's like suburban Chicago.
Suburban Chicago. It's like on the northwest side. It's not far from O'Hare Airport.
Okay. All right. There you go.
What was the name of the arena where they had WrestleMania before? Is that the
Rosemont Horizon?
But they were also at the Allstate Center once.
Same one.
Okay. That's the same thing. Yeah. The Allstate Arena is the old Rosemont Horizon. But they're shooting to try to draw 10,000 fans. They mentioned that they're hoping to get Kenny Omega, Tessa Blanchard, Marty Scurll.
I've been hoping to get some Blanchard too.
I know you have. Anywho, thoughts on this? Is it going to be successful, or do you think they're going to get the 10,000 that they would like to get?
Well, I don't think my insight would be as good as yourselves or Will's, because especially Will, he's well more into it than I am. But I think so because Chicago has such a strong fan base.
That's a good point.
When you put a store there that strictly sells professional wrestling T-shirts and it stays busy, you know you're in for something good there. So I think it's going to be a sellout.
Well, I think Chicago was definitely the right place to go because they had been teasing like four locations for the past couple months. Chicago is definitely the right place, but I'm curious to see what involvement, if any, CM Punk has to do with the show and where it's at, because they've been teasing back and forth on Twitter that, you know, they want him to show. He's kind of teased about being all, using the words all in, but in different sentences about different stuff. I'm curious to see how well they can do without him, but I feel like if at some point in time before the show they announce on Twitter or wherever that he is in and that he'll be at the show, 10,000 easy.
As a wrestler or as a personality?
Even if he's just there.
With the jacket on.
if they post a picture, the picture they've been using, the all-in picture, when they announced that wrestlers that are going to be on the card, they have like a, it's like a black and white photo. It says all-in across the bottom. The minute they put that card out there with his picture on it, 10,000 easy. That place is sold out, no question. So I think they're going to do it alone. I mean, the popularity that they have right now, I think they're going to do it alone. But if they announce him, or even, I think there's going to be people, tons of people who buy tickets in the thinking that he may show up.
Potential.
You know, the potential of him being there. And I think that's going to be huge as well.
What were the other cities that they were looking at?
Los Angeles, New York, Chicago.
Houston, maybe?
And I can't remember the fourth one.
But still, those are all big markets. Historically, Los Angeles has always been a hotbed. New York, obviously. Chicago is, you know, definitely one.
They've had, like, obviously, Ring of Honor's had success at the Hammerstein Ballroom. That's where they do a lot of their Manhattan Mayhem and all that.
Yes.
And then the New Japan show that was out in Long Beach last year was highly successful, and all those guys were on that card. So they were kind of shifting around with those places, but...
Are you going to go?
Yeah, I'm absolutely there.
He's all in. Oh my God, we're so funny.
Yes, actually, I may be journeying out too to go see it because it's Labor Day weekend. It's a long weekend. I might go check it out too. I've had some friends ask me if I was interested. So
it is shortly after SummerSlam, and it's the first day of college football. So that's a little.
Well, you're a Notre Dame fan, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, we open with Michigan this year at night, at home.
Matters even less.
I was supposed to be there, and now I'm not.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the hashtag of all time. It's as I mentioned in the opening, it was a brainchild of a friend of the podcast, Brian Lau, but I thought we'd test it out here on the PBDcast by talking about the most overrated wrestler hashtag of all time. So we've asked you to come up with your ideas.
My criterion was the difference between their in-ring ability and where they are on the card or in the marketing or in nomenclature.
Did you spell that?
C-A-R-D.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. There you go. Anyway, so, all right, that was your...
I came up with a strange list.
Did you?
I came up with a couple of WWE Hall of Famers.
Okay.
If you look at the difference between his in-ring ability and how big of a deal he was, and I love him, Roddy Piper.
Really?
Shocking. Very little wrestling ability. Personality got him there.
Okay.
If you just go by the dry statistics of what he could do in the ring versus where he was, his personality took him from an average worker to...
And an average look.
Yeah. There was no presence to him. You don't look at him like
Hollywood appeal.
You don't look at him
He's still average. He was beating up people from a Columbus, Ohio.
If you look at him, you wouldn't go, he's going to get me. Look at the monster. Okay. He's
okay.
Not.
Okay.
I mean, he's one of my top five wrestlers.
Okay. All right. I'm just shocked by that.
But the difference between what he could do in the ring versus what he was his personality.
See, I got this. But even is tech. So he wasn't a technician,
right?
But his psychology was down.
Yeah,
right. But I'm saying, if you go by the definition of what he could do in the ring versus where he was, that gap was there because of his personality.
Well,
okay.
All right, the Rowdy Roddy Piper ran.
No, that's not my. That's not my most overrated.
Oh wait, I thought we would.
Oh no, I'm going with the two-time champ.
Okay.
Two-time tag team champ, Hall of Famer. I'm going with Yokozuna.
You think he's overrated? He's the most overrated.
Yes.
Okay.
One trick pony.
Size. He couldn't speak. They had Mr. Fuji with him.
He could yell bonsai.
Okay, that's two words.
That's one word, but okay.
Yeah, it depends on language, I guess.
But I'm saying he had no ability. You never saw him do anything but fall off the middle rope or whatever to hurt somebody.
But before he was Yokozuna, when he was Kokina Maximus, when he was wrestling on the indies, like he could move like Vader. But, like he was.
But we never saw that.
He wasn't 500 pounds though then either. Let's be honest, Joey. Let's be honest. He was not 500 pounds.
After he was champ for one time, what, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
When he beat Brett and lost to Hogan?
Yeah.
He was champ twice, and then they put him in a tag team so they could keep using him with Owen Hart. And they were champs. And I'm sure Owen did most of that work.
But there's another whole thing, that whole psychology factor, too. Like, he could do. It was just a totally different type of psychology. As far as being a worker, he wasn't the best worker, but there was a psychology that he had in the ring.
You hated him because he was a foreigner?
Okay. All right.
Xenophobia.
Who wants to go next? Most overrated from Rand. All right. DJ Joey Blaze.
How many do I have to list?
Because
I got three. I did top three.
I have three as well, just in case there are any repeats. But
I'll give you a couple. Okay. Two of them are WWE champions.
Okay.
One of them is a former WCW champion.
All right, go ahead.
Which one do you want?
WCW champion.
Well, you can't get any more overrated in the world of WCW than the total package Lex Luger.
Okay. All right.
He couldn't even get the narcissist character over.
No.
The WWE had to create a character that he still flubbed with the Lex Express, and he decided the best thing he had going for him, he's going to leave the Fed to go back to WCW to be boring? Look, I liked Luger because he had a nice place in wrestling. He had a good look, whatever. He was a horseman. He was a champion. I liked him with Harley Race, but because of Harley Race. But, I mean, the dude, like, did overrated. I mean, that's, to me, he's a, between him and, I guess, I didn't even have him in my top, but, like, Buff Bagwell, like, those type of guys. Like, at least Buff had some sort of character and some sort of charisma. There was no charisma ever with Luger.
When you stand over somebody and flex like this to scare somebody.
For those at home, Joey just threw the forearm.
That was his character. Let's hit somebody and yell.
But wasn't didn't he have like metal plates in his arm?
Supposedly.
I think he had metal plates in his brain.
Okay.
But he would stand over people in the middle of a match and flex.
Yeah.
And they would shiver like, oh, he's gonna hit me with his pretend muscles.
Look, I will say this. Heel Luger was better than face Luger. I will give that credit because
that's like saying a hard poop is better than diarrhea. It feels better coming out. You're not worried he's going to ruin your pants, but it's still shit.
Okay.
And either way, face Luger, heel Luger, Wolfpack Luger, narcissist Luger, in a wheelchair Luger, it's all bullshit.
Well, what about Mr. USA Luger?
What I just said, the Lex Express. He walked away from it. That's the best thing he had going. WWE.
What about WBF Luger?
IBF or WBF?
WBF.
IcoPro.
His best moment in WWE was on the airplane carrier, the Intrepid.
Aircraft carrier, and he body slammed Yokozuna, right?
Kind of.
Yeah.
He didn't even do that properly.
But I was like, how ironic that both of you are almost overrated.
At a moment.
And it's super remembered.
Your guy couldn't even do my guy's move properly. So they both sucked.
No, I totally agree.
Oh, God.
But the thing is, he had such a career that intertwined with so many legends.
Sure.
And he had titles. He kind of has to go into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I would have to imagine you got to put him there.
Yeah.
Because I think that because there's so much history behind him and Bring in Sting to induct him, and
yeah,
I mean,
compared to some of the other people in the Hall of Fame, certainly he belongs in the Hall of Fame.
But I don't know that he doesn't fit the quota. You know, it's, you know, they have that system that they use to nominate people and whatnot. But Will, would you like to go, or do you want me to go?
No, go ahead. Mine's not that good. So
well, mine's going to cause a lot of controversy, but I think you already know who it is, and it's not just a wrestler; it's a tag team. I just think the Young Bucks are overrated. I'm sorry. The problem is that for me, the no selling just bothers the shit out of me. And that bothers me. The psychology behind their matches bother me. And the fact that they sometimes do it on fucking purpose also bothers me. Like, they know it annoys people, so let's just go ahead and not have any psychology. They're great athletes. I take nothing away from them. I give them a tip of the hat because they're doing it without the machine behind them.
For sure.
They're making money hand over fist. They're doing it all on their own.
Stuffing bags of money in the back of the car.
That's right. Stuffing money. Yeah, that's right.
But you know, no selling got Road Warriors over.
But the Road Warriors...
They did a lot better stuff.
I was going to say, number one, they're also, what, like probably 7 inches taller than the Bucks. Yeah, yeah. And clearly, you
muscled.
Know... Yeah.
Unlock the presence.
Like I said, I respect them for their athletic ability and what they're doing and all that jazz. I just don't dig their matches. Like, the best match I've ever seen them have was at the last Wrestle Kingdom. Why? Because they sold.
For sure.
They sold that back. And I was like, now I'm invested, and now I want to see, can Matt, I think it was Matt that injured the back. Can he come back? Can he mount an offense? Prior, every other match that I've ever seen, there's, I'm like, I'm just bored.
Are they spot fest?
Yeah.
I'm surprised with the traditionalists that they've worked with over the years that they've continued to go that route, because, you know, they've had Carino's had input in their career, Christopher Daniels, guys that, you know, that have been around for a while. So I think that's a great one personally.
Yeah, I said that's my gripe. So Will,
while we're still talking about them, I think they do a lot more selling in New Japan than they do in Ring of Honor, and I also think that. For people, and not saying you personally, but for other people who share the opinion that they're overrated or that they're just spot monkeys and they don't sell, I don't feel like, even for their popularity, I don't feel like enough people really watch their shit to, like, get that in-depth on their own opinion, because it's so difficult to watch Ring of Honor. It's so difficult to watch New Japan because the time change. By the time... you wake up in the morning, most of it's already spoiled. It's already on the internet.
Yeah.
And a lot of people aren't waking up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I mean, a lot of people did for Wrestle Kingdom because Jericho, all that was built up. But people aren't getting up every weekend at 4 o'clock in the morning watching New Japan Pro Wrestling. I mean, it's more accessible now than it's ever been.
Sure.
I have the app on my phone. I have the app on my Fire TV. I watch it all the time. But the people who constantly have that opinion... You know, I said to them, well, how much Ring of Honor do you watch? How many Ring of Honor pay-per-views have you seen this year? Well, not none, because Ring of Honor gets broadcast at midnight on Fox TV. No one's watching it, the TV tapings. And you have to pay individually they just launched their Honor Club or
their
streaming service. Yeah. But prior to that, you were still paying $39 for pay-per-view. No one's doing that. Now, you know, when you're paying $9.99 for the network... and you're getting all this content, you're not paying $39 for a Ring of Honor
pay-per-view. No,
you know, I totally agree. Yeah, no, so a lot of their stuff never really fully gets seen. I watched them wrestle War Machine down here last year. They were at Express Live for a Ring of Honor show, and they came back this year, and Christina went down and saw them while I was gone. And, I mean, they put on a really good show, and they wrestle really well, and I saw them live last year, Super Card of Honor against the Hardys in that ladder match. It was hands down one of the best ladder matches I've ever seen. And there aren't enough people who've seen that content. It's like, you got to go out and see a little bit more of their stuff as opposed to just their allure. You know, they're in Hot Topic. You know, they're doing New Japan shows in Los Angeles. So they have this... they have this huge following and the Bullet Club, you know, there's parody t-shirts, there's all this stuff, but like how much of that content are people really getting to see? Mm-hmm. And I think it's I think it's unjust to them in some circumstances where people are like, oh, they just do X, Y, and Z. Well, how much Ring of Honor do you watch? Oh, I've never seen any of it. Okay, well, I think people need to see a little bit more of their content. But I do agree with, you know, some of the parts of what you're saying.
All right, you're most overrated?
Oh, man, I struggled with this all afternoon when I was driving up here. I was like, do I go former? Do I go current? And I'm bringing this up only because I had like a little Twitter discussion with it yesterday. Someone posted a picture of this legend and they said, greatest of all time. And I said, most overrated of all time. So now I feel like because of the situation, I have to go with it. And that was Sting.
Really?
Yeah.
Sting.
And the reason...
Oh, no.
DJ Jordan, please come back.
I thought with that build-up...
You don't have to leave. It's okay.
I thought with that build-up, he was going to go Hogan.
No, Hogan's my all-time top number one.
Hogan's okay. On my list.
Yeah. So, no, and this is why I say Sting is because I think prior to Hogan and the NWO joining WCW... people weren't really watching WCW as much as they were watching WWF, obviously. We all know that. So a lot of Sting's best matches and his most quality work was missed on like my generation and anyone after me. So we didn't really see that Sting. So we saw Sting, the Crow Sting, afterwards, you know, after the formation of the NWO. And he spent all those years... As WCW, NWO, and even as he moved into WCW or into WWE, getting over with this character that's straight from a fucking movie. I mean, they even called him the Crow Sting, like right from the movie. I mean, when Razor Ramon came in, yeah, you knew he was kind of Tony Montana, but he wasn't calling himself Tony Montana, like directly from Scarface. You know, that was the inspiration for that character, but... Sting got over all those years. He went long periods during that time without ever wrestling. He would come down from the rafters with a bat and beat up 17 guys with a freaking bat on a pay-per-view. And then, you know, point the bat at Hogan and then everyone runs and all this stuff because he's got a freaking bat. I never got into all of that. I hated him through that whole entire run. And then I felt like when he came to WWE, like, I was already tired of what I'd seen so far that I didn't want to see anymore. And that's why I think.
I agree on that point because I have always been an advocate that somewhere along the line in that later run in WCW, or even when he went to TNA, bring back Colorful Sting.
Sure.
Bring back the flat top. Like, it's nostalgia. Bring it back.
Right.
Because I agree with you. I think that if you're talking about today's generation of wrestling fans, they have to go back on the network and see his great work. His matches with Flair were phenomenal. I mean, his matches with Vader were great. You got to go back and check that out. But you're seething. Well, what's wrong?
He sits over here and he gives this whole like he wants the new bucks on each side. He wants to do one of these things with them because the body of work. Well, look here, my friend. Don't bitch at us for judging somebody on a body of work when you haven't gone back and you don't know where Steve Borden started and came from. You didn't know when he was with the Blade Runners with my number two most overrated person, the Ultimate Warrior. That MF-er was overrated. I liked him, but that's overrated. Sting was not overrated for so many other reasons. And even with that gimmick, yes, he ripped that off. Yes, he ripped off the Joker gimmick. Yes, he ripped off CK3's gimmick in TNA. He ripped shit off. That's what wrestling is. We borrow ideas. That's what everything is. But he's not... But his ring work? Hell no. Yes, he's kind of like Sting. He had his five moves of doom, too. We all knew what was coming. But when you put him in the ring with Ric Flair, I don't care what color paint you put on his face. I don't care what color his hair was. I don't care how old Ric Flair was. It was a good match. Flair's old ass on the last Nitro with Sting was a decent match. I'm a little fired up, but when you bitch about people not watching the Young Bucks, don't bitch about somebody because you watched somebody for 5 years and you like your movies and you like this and you think he's ripping off that. That was all a ploy because you had to have somebody combat this NWO that came in and took over. I digress. But I just, I personally don't see it because I've been a fan of Sting.
Oh, I have too.
Since the UWF.
Yeah.
You know, since Bill Watts, you know, he started working for Bill Watts on through. And just so just like you can't say, people can't say that about the Young Bucks, you kind of look at a dude's whole body of work. You looked at Piper's whole body of work and he's been, he was the same dude his whole career. So I can kind of see that more, firstly, than I can see Sting. Because Sting played a character. That's why he was told to play a character. That character got over. He got his pockets fat from that. Him and Hogan drew so much money from that Starrcade, which is crazy when you compare it to not being a WWE pay-per-view. And then them just that character that was so stale and so overrated, it took out the WWE for a couple years. It wasn't just the NWO. That Sting character drove people to TV, too.
No, yeah, no, I mean...
Sorry, I have to argue that one because you can't say you can't say that if you don't watch whole body work on two guys that are 5'8", 160 pounds soaking wet and compare them to a legend like Sting when you don't compare his whole body work.
Well, yeah, but I think I started off by, well, maybe I didn't, but I guess I was mostly focusing on the Sting portion of his career that I'm familiar with. So I guess maybe if I'm not to say Sting himself is the most overrated of all time, but I guess from the period of time that I know him from, if that makes sense. I mean, because I don't know
so that previous body of work. So was that the hashtag most overrated wrestler from the time that you knew somebody?
Does that fit the Twitter characters? Boy, I tell you, we got heated in here.
Woo! Ringside?
The one part of the Sting-Hogan feud that really was wrong... In the middle of the summer, Hogan looked at Sting and goes, I'll see you at Starrcade, which is like 5 months away.
Which is, that was weird, but they were planned. They were doing this weird thing that that we don't do now. We build a pay-per-view. They build up the hype. They build it. They drew it out. And it was a way of what he talked about earlier in the podcast of taking somebody off of TV. Well, guess what? Sting didn't wrestle for months. So all this aura of Sting and this new character was built. It was a great way to build that. So yeah, he did some cheesy stuff, but it built with that. And I think there's still, even with Wolfpack Sting or this Sting or that Sting, I totally agree with that too. He should have went back and did the blonde gimmick again. But yeah, so be it. But maybe he found God and God doesn't like blondes. I don't know. But I personally, and no offense to Will, I would not include him in that.
All right. Well, we certainly touched on a nerve. So
no, but, nerve. Yeah. I just have to argue. argue. Like, if he's going to sit here and argue the Young Bucks,
okay,
you got to argue that too. If you're going to talk about a whole body of work,
okay. Well, Greg Gagne was on my list, by the way, too. Greg Gagne.
How the hell is he going to be overrated? I mean, it was Vern's son. But
anyway, don't let nepotism get you in this.
He can't be most overrated. Who was your other two? Greg Gagne, the Young Bucks, and who else?
May Young? Kendall Windham.
Oh, God.
But you know,
this dude's going back looking at old tapes. He didn't know if it was porn or Florida Championship Wrestling.
Were those 8-track tapes?
No, wait.
Here, check out this Betamax. Iceman King Parsons, all he did was a booty bop. He's overrated.
Coco Beware.
Wait a minute.
Overrated.
Time out.
I agree.
Oh, but was he?
Yeah, Bird. He's in the Hall of Fame.
But
name a great match Coco Beware had.
Bundy's not in the Hall of Fame. Beware is in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, so
what the hell's wrong there?
On the Hall of Fame accolade alone, I would say overrated. But I find it hard. The word overrated implies that you were rated somewhere to begin with.
That's where Greg Gagne falls. He wasn't even on the ring.
Or Kendall Windham.
Never mind.
Oh my God, so he's the uncle to Bray Wyatt.
It's hard to be overrated if you've never really been rated. Is that fair to say?
I think that is fair to say.
Yeah.
So
why they can't say I'm overrated as a DJ, because I'm not rated. I mean, I might as well just set that up for you too, Spike Crotch Cry.
All right, guys, we're getting up to an hour here, so let's maybe wrap this up, if you will.
People are enjoying it, I'm sure.
They are.
I want to know, what was your other one?
Go ahead, quick, Ryan. You said you had three? He doesn't remember. Did you write him down?
I wrote him down there at home.
You're not supposed to do that much vape.
So.
Okay, my three, Luger, Hogan, and Warrior. Okay. That was my three.
I had Warrior.
Okay. All right, well, let's talk about where people can find you on the internet. DJ Joey Blaze.
We forgot to talk about something.
What did we forget?
I know we're getting to be an hour. We're on time constraints here all of a sudden. Like it's Nitro 1999. I'm sorry, folks. We got to go. Tony Schiavone.
What do we not talk about?
Do we have any Marty Jannetty updates?
Ooh,
let's party with Marty.
You know what? Let's look and find out. Oh, let me see.
Now, somebody locally, I think, was supposed to bring him in.
Are you making this up?
I'm not making it up.
Okay, I'm going to say I'm trying. For some odd reason, my internet won't work. I don't know why.
I think we need to come out strong with another one. I would like to get him on the podcast. Okay. I think that would be...
I'll bring the beer if that's what it takes to party with Marty.
I'm sure that's what it takes. I mean...
I want to bring pictures of my relatives to see if there's anybody I should be going after like he does.
Terrible. I don't know. I'm having problems connecting to the internet.
So you're worried about the hour. Will's over here checking his iWatch.
Well, I was getting a
notification. He's probably looking for heart-shaped nipples on there. That's his extra, by the way. Bring that up, because I know we're going to talk about this.
It may be inappropriate. I don't want to out the talent involved.
Okay, you don't out her, but... Okay.
So we happen to be watching IWA Mid-South, and there was a female wrestler on there who we both were like, oh, she's, you know, kind of attractive, whatever. We looked up her body of work. She'd had some matches against some other top talent. And then we saw her live in Dayton a couple nights later at the Naito Takes Dayton show.
And keep putting the story together, you'll figure out what it is. Choose your adventure.
So upon a couple of Google searches, we found out that this talent has heart-shaped nipples, which is a cosmetic trend where you go and have your nipples shaved or cut into a heart shape. I don't know how the process is done. I didn't research it any further. I'm sure Joey has, because he was highly interested in the topic, but it's a real thing. And
okay, generically works. I think we should have a bet at some point that the loser must get a heart shaped nipple. What do we think?
I'm not in for that. But by the way, Marty just says when you have nothing to do and what do you do? And my booty mama is beautiful. What would you do? And there's a picture of him with this nice young lady here. So that's nothing weird.
Booty mama. Big booty daddy. Scott Steiner. Overrated.
For sure.
There was a time when he did the Steiner...
Recliner?
No.
Frankensteiner.
Frankensteiner. That was an impressive move.
Oh, when him and his brother were together early WWF days, they were, and even early WCW days, they were good.
Okay.
Right. Oh, by himself, he's completely overrated.
Yeah, for sure.
But he does math pretty well. He's kick my ass now, because he'll probably hunt me down.
He is the king of the malaprops.
Yeah. Chainmail. Chainmail hat. Gotta have it. All right.
I get chain emails. This guy wants to give him a bunch of money over in Africa, so they want to follow up on that. He said, if I give him the money, then I get even more.
Oh, really? That was me when I was over there. I was sending
those. All right, King Mom.
You never sent the info back, so...
Damn it, he almost got me.
All right, DJ Joey Blaze, where are you at on the internet?
Twitter at DJ Joey Blaze, DJ Joey Blayze, and on Instagram, too. You can catch me locally here in Columbus Friday nights at Crown Sports Lounge near Polaris, and you can catch me Saturday nights at Adobe Gila's in Easton Town Center.
There you go. Ringside Rand, where are you at?
This Sunday night, I will be section 7 on the floor, row A, seat 5.
Nice.
And what is that often known as?
Ringside.
Nice. All right. Will?
I will not be signing autographs.
You will not be signing autographs.
Your Twitter. You don't give it out today?
My name, Rand Dittmar.
All right, there you go. Well, that's a hard setup. So I am at the Weapon X, W34PONX, because some asshole like 10 years ago took Weapon X that I usually go by, sent out one tweet, and has never used it again, and I can't get the damn name, even though I've emailed Twitter like 15 times, because I'm Weapon X on Xbox, Instagram, everywhere else in the world.
except for Twitter. So
you know, I know a guy that once fought Wade Boggs that could probably help you.
We should get him on the case because I really need that handle back. That's been my identity since 1996.
So we'll throw it out there. Can you help us out there in the internet world?
Yeah, there you go. Just hit us up on Twitter. Let us know. Or just
at Weapon X a million times and tell him, give it up.
There you go.
Tell him to fuck off.
Piss or get off the Twitter.
With that being said, thank you, gentlemen, for swinging by the PBD cast.
Thanks for having us.
You're quite welcome, guys. All right, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My guests and I sitting down and debating who is the most overrated wrestler hashtag of all time, and also chiming in with a little bit of insight as to what we think will happen at Fastlane this weekend. So if you want to get in touch with me and let me know that you think I'm full of malarkey, you're more than welcome to do so, especially with this episode. All you got to do is shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. Find me on Twitter at PVDMVP, or you could drop me a line over on the Facebook page of the PVDcast, and that is facebook.com/PVDcast. And of course, you can get this podcast a variety of different ways. Obviously, the easiest way is PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But it's also available through iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Pod Paradise, SoundCloud, and of course, the Echo Network. So for that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to mosey on out of here. Thanks for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. And until then, stay righteous and stay independent.